The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Rendell.
Good evening.
This historic legislation to telecommunications law will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity, and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right, here we go. Kicking off yet another week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. And you know we like to start the show with a little bit of humor to help us prepare for the onslaught of negative shit that's going to come our way over the course of the next hour. It won't all be negative, I promise. But today, it's a bit of funny mixed in with the deadly serious. Let me turn it over to Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart.
Our friend Jon Stewart was in Congress calling on lawmakers to extend the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund, which covers health care for survivors and first responders. The fund expires next year, and it has been difficult to get Congress's attention on this issue. So John called them out for dragging their feet on reauthorizing the fund. Because the situation is urgent, yesterday, John then met with the only constituents the Republican lawmakers listened to, Fox News.
Uh-oh. It's very likely that the House is going to pass the full bill that you want, extending the program through the lives of these people. Then sure. You have to go to the Senate. And in your testimony, you said that a certain someone, by which it appeared that you meant Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, cannot be allowed to use this as a, quote, political football in negotiations on other spending bills. Have you had problems with Senator McConnell?
Yes. I mean, not me personally, but in terms of getting the 9/11 bills passed, Mitch McConnell has been the white whale of this since 2010.
Yes, Mitch McConnell is the white whale in that he has been acting like a huge Moby Dick.
Ooh, yeah.
Well, this morning, McConnell went on Fox and Friends and told Jon Stewart that when it comes to providing health care for 9/11 first responders, he should just chillax.
Why has it always seemed that the vote comes at the last minute?
Well, many things that Congress have at the last minute. We have never failed to address this issue. And we will address it again. I don't know why he's all been out of shape.
Well, Senator, I, for one, don't think...
What did he say?
And Jon Stewart emerged from under the desk.
Now that I have you here, what a delight. I may ask you, are you bent out of shape?
No, Mitch McConnell. I am not bent out of shape. I'm in fine shape. Well, I am out of shape. I am out of shape. But not because of you. I'm actually really more pizza crust than man. At this point. But I'm not bent out of shape. I'm fine. I'm bent out of shape for them. These are the first heroes and veterans and victims of the great trillions of dollars war on terror. And they're currently still suffering and dying and in terrible need. You know, you would think that would be enough to get Congress's attention, but apparently it's not.
I think he was shocked that when he was appearing before that committee, so few members showed up that day.
Well, that frequently happens because members have a lot of things going on at the same time. And it sounds to me like he's looking for some way to take offense.
I feel like an ass. my God, I'm so, you know what, Stephen? Now I feel stupid. This is a huge misunderstanding. I didn't know that they were busy. I'm so, oh boy, now I don't even know what to say. I'm so, I didn't mean to interrupt them with their jobs. You know, I don't understand. You're just pantomiming. Are you just pantomiming?
Yeah.
honestly, Mitch McConnell, you really want to go with the we'll get to it when we get to it argument for the heroes of 9/11? Listen, Senator, I know that your species isn't known for moving quickly.
Would that be a turtle reference, John?
It's actually just it's a little red meat for the base. That's all. Yeah. Little red meat for the base.
Thank you, John.
But damn, Senator.
Damn.
You're not good at this argument thing. Basically, we're saying you love the 9/11 community when they serve your political purposes. But when they're in urgent need, you slow walk, you dither, you use it as a political pawn to get other things you want, and you don't get the job done completely. And your answer to that charge is, yeah, duh, we're Congress, that's how we do. But the truth is, that's not how Congress do. That's how the kids would say it. That's how you, Mitch McConnell, do. We've spent a year compiling bipartisan co-sponsors and advocates for this bill, all in the hopes that when it finally gets to the great Mitch McConnell's desk, you won't jack us around like you've done in the past. So, if you want to know why the 9/11 community has been out of shape over these past, let's call it 18 years, meet with them tomorrow as soon as possible and don't make them beg for it. You could pass this thing as a standalone bill tomorrow. Meet with them. I beg of you. Meet with them tomorrow. Oh, but you know what?
That would be today, by the way.
You know what? If you're busy, I get it. Just understand, the next time we have a war, or you're being robbed, or your house is on fire, and you make that desperate call for help, don't get bent out of shape if they show up at the last minute with fewer people than you thought were going to pay attention and don't actually put it out. Just sort of leave it there smoldering for another 5 years, because that's how it's done around here, mister. I'm sure they'll put it out for good when they feel like getting around to it. No offense.
John Stewart, everybody.
Oh, my. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. John Stewart tells Mitch McConnell how it's done, fucking turtle. He could do it today. He could pass it as a standalone bill. Instead, he's like, I don't know, he's all bent out of shape. Will you always take care of it? Yeah, when they get around to it. John Stewart is a national treasure. And yes, he does need to be back on TV. But I'll tell you something. His absence on a regular daily basis makes these occasions when he does pop up all the more important, or all the more impactful might be the more appropriate word there. Anyway, John Stewart with Stephen Colbert bringing a bit of the funny today along with some really important commentary aimed at McTurtle over there. So welcome to a new week. Meet the new week. Just as batshit crazy as the old week. Let's see, what new happened this weekend? Saber rattling with Iran, that was ramped up. What else? Oh, just so much shit. In fact, today, well, we'll get to what's news in a minute, and that'll cover most of what went on. Donald Trump... He's such an asshole. You know, he was tweeting out to try to get people to tune in to the special, I guess it was a special edition of 2020 on Friday night, featuring his interviews with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. Oh my God, is this guy a fucking moron or what? So he's promoting the hell out of it, and it bombed. In the ratings, it bombed. And just to make it clear, that's Donald Trump that the American people did not want to listen to. I watched it just because I had to know what he said. And don't worry, I'm not going to bombard you with clips today. I'm sure you've heard most of them. He is just certifiable. The man belongs in an institution and not the U.S. government, if you know what I mean. Anyway, today, yes, yeah, well, we'll cover that Trump wants to round up a million undocumented people in today's edition of What's News. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. But before we get there, one story that I do not cover in today's edition of What's News is the fact that Dump is in Orlando today, where he is officially kicking off his 2020 reelection bid. But excuse me, this asshole has been doing campaign-style rallies since he got elected by the Electoral College, who shirked on their responsibilities as an Electoral College, but that's a topic for another day. He's never stopped campaigning. And this is one of those norms that the American people just said, oh, well, it's never happened before. We've never had a president do like, you know, despots do and be in sort of campaign mode throughout their reign of terror. But this is this idiot. Anyway, so he's in Orlando today, you know, just marveling at the big crowds that are gathered outside of the arena where he's having this rally tonight. So the Orlando Sentinel is the big daily newspaper in Orlando, as the name would imply. And the Orlando Sentinel has been a reliable endorser of Republicans throughout the years. Well, today, knowing that Donald Trump was holding a big rally in their city, even though it is, what, 17 months or something away from the 2020 elections, the Orlando Sentinel decided to make their endorsement today. And I'm going to share it with you because I think it's this important. The headline reads, "Our Orlando Sentinel endorsement for president in 2020, not Donald Trump." Yeah, this is what's greeting Trump in Orlando today. And here's what they wrote. "Donald Trump is in Orlando to announce the kickoff of his reelection campaign. We're here to announce our endorsement for president in 2020, or at least who we're not endorsing, Donald Trump. Some readers will wonder how we could possibly eliminate a candidate so far before an election and before knowing the identity of his opponent. But there's no point pretending we would ever recommend that readers vote for Trump. After 2.5 years, we've seen enough. Enough of the chaos, the division, the schoolyard insults, the self-aggrandizement, the corruption, and especially the lies. So many lies, from white lies to whoppers, told out of ignorance, laziness, recklessness, expediency, or opportunity. Trump's capacity for lying isn't the surprise here, though the frequency is. It's the tolerance so many Americans have for it. There was a time when even a single lie, a phony college degree, a bogus work history, would doom a politician's career. Not so for Trump, who claimed in 2017 that he lost the popular vote because millions of people voted illegally. They didn't. In 2018, he said North Korea was no longer a nuclear threat. It is. And in 2019, he said windmills cause cancer. They don't. Just last week, he claimed that the media fabricated unfavorable results from his campaign's internal polling. It didn't. According to a Washington Post database, the president has tallied more than 10,000 lies since he took office. Trump's successful assault on truth is the great casualty of this presidency, followed closely by his war on decency. Trump insults political opponents and national heroes alike with middle school taunts. He demonstrates no capacity for empathy or remorse. He misuses his office to punish opponents, as when he recently called for a boycott of AT&T to get even with his least favorite media outlet, CNN. He tears down institutions, once airily suggesting the U.S. should try having a leader for life, as China now allows. He seems incapable of learning a lesson, telling an ABC interviewer last week, just 2 months after Robert Mueller's report on election interference was released, that he would accept dirt on an opponent from Russia or China. Trump has diminished our standing in the world. He reneges on deals, attacks allies, and embraces enemies. This nation must never forget that humiliating public moment in Helsinki in 2018 when the president of the United States chose to accept Vladimir Putin's denials of Russian interference in the 2016 election over the unanimous assessment of the American intelligence community. Such a betrayal by a U.S. president would have been the unforgivable political sin in normal times. As if that's not enough, Trump declares his love for North Korea's Kim Jong-un, a genuine villain who starves and enslaves his people and executes his enemies with anti-aircraft guns and flamethrowers. But he wrote the president a, quote, beautiful letter. Flattery will get you everywhere with this president, and that's dangerous. Domestically, the president's signature issue, immigration, has moved in fits and starts. Happily, he abandoned pursuing an outright and unconstitutional ban on Muslims entering the U.S., opting instead to restrict travel for people from a handful of nations, most of them majority Muslim. He's tried separating families, sending troops to the border, and declaring a national emergency. For all of that, illegal border crossings are, as the president himself calls it, at crisis levels. He blames House Democrats because casting blame is Trump's forte. But Republicans controlled the House and Senate for two full years. That seemed like an ideal time to fix what the president believes ails our immigration laws. Even with Democrats now controlling the House, where is Trump's much-touted deal-making mojo, an attribute he campaigned on? But the economy! Yes, the market has done well since Trump's election. The S&P 500 was up about 21% between Trump's inauguration and May 31st of his third year in office. Under Barack Obama, President Obama, it was up about 56% in that same period. 56%, 21%. Unemployment is headed down, as it was during seven straight years under Obama. Wages are up, and that's a welcome change. But GDP increases so far are no better than some periods under Obama. Deficit spending under Obama was far too high, in part because of the stimulus needed to dig out of the Great Recession. Under Trump, it's still headed in the wrong direction, once again pushing $1 trillion, even though the economy is healthy. Trump seems to care nothing about the deficit and the national debt, which once breathed life into the Tea Party. Through all of this, Trump's base remains loyal. Sadly, the truest words Trump might ever have spoken was when he said he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose his supporters. This non-endorsement, by the way, if you're just joining us, I'm reading from today's Orlando Sentinel, who, in honor of Donald Trump holding a big rally in their city today, made their endorsement of anybody, basically, but Trump. So I'm reading their endorsement editorial. So they write, this non-endorsement isn't defaulting to whomever the Democrats choose. This newspaper has a history of presidential appointments favoring Republicans starting in the mid-20th century. Except for Lyndon Johnson in 1964, the Sentinel-backed Republican presidential nominees from 1952 through 2004, when we recommended John Kerry over another 4 years of George W. Bush. As recently as 2012, we recommended Republican Mitt Romney because of what seemed at the time to be Obama's failure to adequately manage the nation's finances. If, however unlikely, a Republican like Romney, now a senator from Utah, or former Ohio Governor John Kasich successfully primaried the president, we would eagerly give them a look. Same if an independent candidate mounted a legitimate campaign. We'd even consider backing Trump if, say, he found the proverbial cure for cancer, or, about as likely, changed the essence of who he is. He won't. The nation must endure another year and a half of Trump. But it needn't suffer another four beyond that. We can do better. We have to do better. And that is the Orlando Sentinel. As I said, a usually reliable, you know, Republican endorsement in a presidential year, making their endorsement today, basically saying, not Trump. That's their endorsement. Not Trump. And hopefully, other newspapers will follow suit. Hopefully, some Republicans will, their consciences will rise up within them and they'll do the right thing too. Though I hate to say it, I'm not holding my breath. All right. It is Tuesday. That means Gotta Laugh is here. So I can read you a book sometime. Maybe we'll do a weekly book thing or something. I don't know. Trying to think of something to do with. I'm not ready to do a Monday show yet. Yesterday, I podcasted Bernie Sanders' whole speech, which we talked about at length on Friday. And some people suggested maybe I use the Monday, you know, empty podcast to send it out. So I did yesterday instead of doing a music, you know, a blast from the musical archives. But yeah, I'm open to suggestions. All right. It is, as I was saying, Tuesday. Gotta Laugh is here. So we'll take a quick break. We'll check in with what's news. The only additional news is that Trump's acting defense secretary, Patrick Shanahan, is out. We knew that was coming. Another one is in. We'll see. All right. So now stick around. Gotta Laugh joins us in just a few minutes right here at the Nicole Sandler Show at NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network. But first, a look at the day's news in What's News.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tensions are on the rise in the Middle East, where Tehran's nuclear agency announced that in 10 days it will exceed the amount of enriched uranium it's allowed under the 2015 nuclear deal. Iran's announcement pressures Europe to try to salvage the pact it helped negotiate along with the Obama administration, but which Trump rejected last year. The president and his national security team say military options are on the table while they asked for, quote, increased international pressure on Iran. The Pentagon, of course, is doing its part, announcing it will dispatch an additional 1,000 troops in response to these recent attacks on oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman that the United States is blaming on Iran. These 1,000 troops are in addition to the reinforcements of 1,500 personnel sent to the region late last month, along with a USS Abraham Lincoln aircraft carrier battle group. Donald Trump said in a tweet Monday night that U.S. immigration agents are planning to make mass arrests starting, quote, next week, in an apparent reference to a plan in preparation for months that aims to round up thousands of migrant parents and children in a blitz operation across major U.S. cities. Quote, next week, ICE will begin the process of removing the millions of illegal aliens who have illicitly found their way into the United States. They will be removed as fast as they come in, Trump tweeted. U.S. officials with knowledge of the preparations have said in recent days that the operation was not imminent, and ICE officials said late Monday night that they were not aware that the president planned to divulge their enforcement plans on Twitter. Fact check time. There's no way ICE can deport, quote, millions of people in the near term. In fiscal year 2012, at its peak, the agency deported 409,849 individuals. In 2017, the first year for which we have partial data under Trump, that number was 226,119. Just keeping them honest. Freshman Congresswoman Katie Porter of California posted a new video online in which she explains why she is now supporting an impeachment inquiry.
I've reached a point of clarity in my decision. Congress must continue the work of Special Counsel Mueller. In his report and public remarks, Director Mueller emphasized that under current law, he did not have the option to indict the president. But despite the limits of his authority, the special counsel was clear that he could not exonerate the president, and he presented extensive evidence of obstruction of justice that requires continued investigation by Congress. The administration has refused to respect the rule of law. They have ignored multiple subpoenas. They've directed current and former high-ranking officials to disregard summons to testify, and the president has continued his efforts to spread mistrust of our law enforcement, contempt for our journalists, and false information about the law, Director Mueller's findings, and basic uncontested facts. The question is not whether a crisis is in our midst, but rather whether we choose to fight against it.
Only two Democrats in Republican districts have called for impeachment proceedings. The other is Congressman Tom Malinowski, a former Obama State Department official who represents New Jersey's 7th District. The Supreme Court is nearing the end of its current term and is expected to hand down a flurry of big opinions in the final days of June. On Monday, we got two. First, the justice has ruled against the Virginia House of Delegates in a racial gerrymandering case that represented a victory for Democrats in Virginia. In a case that only had implications for Virginia, in a 5-4 ruling, the court found that the state house didn't have the standing to appeal a lower court ruling that found that new district maps must be used ahead of the 2020 elections. Those new maps are already in use. Associate Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg wrote for the majority, which included the unusual bedfellows of Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch. The other case for which we got a decision on Monday deals with double jeopardy. And it wasn't the outcome Paul Manafort and others implicated in Trump's web of crime and corruption were hoping for.
The Supreme Court here upholding this exception, which basically says that state and federal prosecutors can bring charges against one person for the same underlying crime without violating the double jeopardy clause. This was actually a challenge brought by an Alabama man, a convicted felon, who was charged for possessing a weapon both by the feds and the state. But the Supreme Court was very reluctant to do away with this doctrine since it is such a long-standing exception here. If the challengers had succeeded, it could have provided somewhat of an opening for Paul Manafort. You'll remember that within really minutes of Paul Manafort being sentenced in Washington, D.C. for those federal crimes, the Manhattan District Attorney brought charges against Paul Manafort in New York State for mortgage fraud crimes. Paul Manafort could have potentially argued that he couldn't be brought in both federal court and state court, but the Supreme Court essentially putting that to rest, this separate sovereign's exception will stand, that state and federal prosecutors can, in fact, bring charges that result from the same underlying offense without violating the double jeopardy clause.
And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-supported, and I really can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh. Talk about what the hell's going on in the news. But first, we got to get her on the line. So let me push some buttons. Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the Father's Day hotline.
Okay. Sunday was Father's Day, right? Okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Now, press 1 if you think Trump celebrated by giving Ivanka a Father's Day hug that started on Mother's Day.
Ew.
Press 2 if you think Ivanka said, Daddy, Daddy, I wish every day was Daddy's Day.
Ew.
Press 3 if you heard Trump tell Lindsey Graham, if I had a son, I'd want him to be just like you.
Ew.
Have a nice day.
Ew. All of it. Ew.
I know, because he's ew.
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 Ew. Did you watch any of the George Stephanopoulos? Oh, hold on. This is my ringtone, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's my attorney calling. Gee, he should know when I'm on the air. Anyway, foreclosure. That's what the attorney's for.
Yeah.
Not a good thing. Seeing it pop up on my phone.
Yeah. Glad you weren't available. I've only seen what the clips were on TV, but those were more than enough.
Oh my God.
I mean, wow. Especially the part where he said, I've read the Mueller report.
Yeah, that's funny. I was going to pull some clips and I thought, I know my regulars anyway, the regular listeners hate it when I play Trump sound. And I figured it was everywhere. And so I wouldn't, the only clip I pulled was him kicking his acting chief of staff out of the Oval Office and saying, yes, let's do that over because he coughed. Here, yeah. let me just, it's 20 seconds, Saul, just 20 seconds.
But at some point, I hope they get it because it's a fantastic financial statement.
Which is the first time I didn't even
it's
hear
it. It's a fantastic financial statement. And let's do that over. He's coughing in the middle of my answer.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like that, you know?
I don't like that.
Your chief of staff.
If you're going to cough, please leave the room.
Get a shot of, and I'll come over here. You just can't.
You just can't do that. He's like shaking his head. You just can't do that. He has no problem with, you know, taking babies out of the arms of their mothers, but, you know, you can't cough.
He was directing a TV episode. That's what you do in television. If you have any sound that comes, you know, into the audio, you've got to stop and take it over and reshoot it, mm-hmm. and say the words again that
right.
you want. You know, you have
Which
to convince everybody.
Which is what he thought. This is just a show. This is
right.
all. This is all make believe. It's all pretend. Nothing's real.
You know, I was watching Tony Schwartz. I think he was on, was it with Chris Hayes? Or I don't remember who he was on with. But first of all, he said everybody who knows Trump hates Trump. But then he went on to say that when Trump started his term, he was lying about 20 to 30% of the time.
Right.
And now he's lying between 70 and 90% of the
yes.
time or something
I
similar
actually
to that.
Saw that. I saw that
yeah.
same thing somewhere in the middle of the night when I couldn't sleep.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
But yeah, he it's all just a facade. Excuse me. It's everything he says is a lie. All the retakes are to make him look good. Everything is designed to make him look like a success and the most important person in the world because he's an utter failure. And every single thing out of his mouth is either a lie or a projection, which is my mantra.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you're right. There's so much projection there. It's the classic. I mean, he's such a, again, we're laymen. We are not psychiatrists or psychologists. Mm-hmm. Don't even play one on television. And yet we can diagnose all the psychological problems, or some of them anyway. I don't want to say all of them because he's got tons.
Yeah.
But we can point them out. I mean, they're so obvious. Just, I mean, reading. So ABC released a transcript. They did the,
yeah.
they released, you know, clips for a few days, and then they had the big 30 hours or whatever it was on Friday night. And then there was more that aired yesterday. And then, he when you read the transcript, obviously they couldn't include everything, so they transcribed all of the interview segments, and he just repeats himself ad nauseum. I mean, you know, some might, you know, fault Rachel Maddow for repeating herself a lot when she sets up a story. This puts her to shame. He'll say,
"Well, she's
same-
not doing it because she's got a psychological problem."
No, she's doing it to fill time. I don't know why she does it. Or she
no,
thinks-
she does it to make sure you're hearing what
okay.
she's saying.
Well,
I mean,
she thinks people
I've
are
had
stupid.
Professors like that.
That really bugs me. I'm sorry. The way she repeats herself really bugs me. But it is nothing compared to Donald Trump. How he
yeah.
repeats himself. Ad nauseum, he'll say the same thing 20 times in a sentence.
He doesn't know what he's saying. That's why he says whatever pops into his head and it comes out word slaw.
Yeah.
And everything he says is simply designed, again, to make himself look good, to show everybody that he is the only one, the most important one that's going to do everything right for you, but it's really not for you. It's for him.
Right.
You know, people repeat themselves. I repeat myself. And the reason, again, Rachel does it is not because she's got some mental issue or because she's illiterate or she's stupid or she doesn't know what she's saying. She says it to make a point over and over and over and to clarify. And I've actually found myself where I missed something she said because I'm doing, you know, I'm busy doing something.
Right.
And then she puts it into context by repeating it again. And I'm going, oh, I'm glad she did repeat it. When he does it, it's not for that reason. It's not to clarify. It's because he has nothing else to say.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know anything. It's all pulled straight out of his big fat ass. And so all he can do is repeat words like flatulence. I mean, he's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, you got me on a bad day, didn't you?
Sorry.
You got me on such a down day.
Yeah. Well, you know. You mentioned, we talked off the air, and you mentioned that
yeah.
your best friend moved away to Idaho. Who would move to Idaho, first of all?
Well, they have family there, and they don't have any money. And they've been talking about
right.
how they don't have any money for yeah. years, but she was a teacher, and she had to put in so many years in order to get her benefits,
right.
her earned benefits.
Gotcha.
So she was stuck. They were stuck living here and doing what she does until she could finally get to the point where they could sell the house. Well, they wanted to stay in California, but they couldn't afford a house
right.
in California.
Right.
And they have a daughter, and they have three dogs and a cat. So they, you know, they need to have a house. And then I guess his family beckoned from Idaho, and I found out in kind of a roundabout way, and I was stunned at the time. I found out, I think, a couple of months ago. And it all went really fast. And so now they're living, they're on their way today, right now. They're driving.
That sucks. But as I was telling you, I think it has to do with maybe getting older. I don't know. You know, my friends are all in Los Angeles because I lived and worked there for 15 years.
Right. Yeah.
In my prime. And my job was, you know, I was doing music radio in LA. And so the job was very social. So I socialized with people that I worked with. It was mostly going out at night to hear bands. I moved back here to Florida where I grew up, and I don't have any friends here. And it's sad because I think a lot of adults our age are in the same boat. We just, not like at, you know, in your 50s or 60s, you go around meeting people. It's not that easy.
Right. And like mine, all my friends have scattered all over the country now. They all lived here. And as time went on, one by one by one, they moved to different states. Uh-huh. And so I have a lot of friends, but they're not available to me.
Right.
And, you know, so that's part of the reason I didn't care if we moved to Canada, because what do I have to, I'm missing nothing here other than the warm weather, and the warm weather gets unbearable during this summer.
Tell me about it.
I'll tell you what
I've been doing, and people who follow me on social media probably have figured it out by now, but for the past few weeks, a few weeks ago, I started volunteering at the local Broward County, Florida animal shelter. Taking care of dogs. I walk and play with and love dogs and try to help get them adopted. And I'll tell you something. It's nice to do. Right. See, Kate in the YouTube chat room just said volunteer in your community and you will have friends. So that's my newest thing. That's what I'm doing on weekends now, is I go volunteer with these dogs. And so far, the people I've met seem great. I mean, nobody that I'm going out and hanging out with. But, you know, I like dogs better than most people anyway. So, you know, it works out.
Yeah, I was actually thinking of doing the same thing. If I was looking to volunteer, that's what I would do.
Yep.
Because I love dogs.
Yeah,
as you know,
it's a
I
good
love
thing.
Dogs
and
so much.
Oh, I'll tell you, it's heartbreaking seeing all these animals. People need to go to the pound and find a dog, or just go and, you know, go and hang out with them. It's amazing what I've learned, and we'll get to news in a second. But what I've learned is you go through the lines of kennels, and these dogs look so ferocious and so mean, and they're barking and they're loud and they're jumping. And the minute you get them outside, they have these three little, you know, parks that they can run around in. They're like the biggest teddy bears who just want to be loved. And so,
it's absolutely true.
Yep.
Oh God!
Yeah, so they're waiting for you. Okay, so anyway, here we are in just crazy times. I don't even know what to do anymore about the, you know, thinking about what's going on with Iran. All I know is I've seen these tweets from Donald Trump from when before he ever ran for president, talking about this one from 2011. Watch, Obama's going to start a war with Iran to win the election.
Yeah, I've tweeted that one a bunch.
Me too.
Isn't that
what's
ironic?
So frightening is that this is how this idiot thinks. He believes you start a war with Iran, you win re-election. And now they're basically...
they're looking for a war.
Yeah.
They're just looking.
Provoking
they're creating
a war.
All the experts that I've watched have said this is not... They're not attacking us. You know, the Trump people are saying that they're attacking our interests. And then the experts are saying, define interests. What does that mean? That could mean we have students somewhere. That could mean anything. There are American interests in every city everywhere, or every country everywhere, for any number of reasons. So they are being vague intentionally, and they're beating those war drums and wagging all the dogs they can find in the kennels, and we're screwed.
Yeah,
we're so screwed.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Tweeties?
Sure. Let's do it. Let's let me find. Let loose the birdies. Oh, here they go.
Welcome to my Tweeties.
Okay, So what interesting stuff have you found on the Twitters?
Well, one of the interesting stuff is me. I was pissed off at MSNBC again today.
Why not?
So I did a little rant. It started maybe a half hour, an hour earlier than what I ended up tweeting. But it started where I said, "Dear MSNBC, how nice that you're playing right into Trump's hands by hyping his big day," meaning his so-called campaign starting day, which is, like you said, bullshit. "And every manipulative move he's making to suck you in." Click. And I turn them off. Then I turn them on about an hour later. And here's what I wrote. "Dear News," and this, okay, so what I had just watched in two separate hours, beginning the same exact way, was MSNBC's correspondent, or whatever you call the person, reporter, down in Orlando,
Florida,
I guess it is, interviewing the people in the Trump line.
Okay.
A lot of them are from Craigslist, and they're getting paid for this, but never mind that. So I wrote, "Dear News, you're under no obligation to keep interviewing Trumpies in line to see his ego rallies. No reason to air those rallies, and can easily cover him with a line or two. Like, for example, Trump's having a rally. He's going to lie. The fairness doctrine no longer exists. Stop legitimizing him." And then I go on to say, "Trump, individual one, is a criminal, a lying fraud, and everyone knows it. So, News, are you covering other criminals' every move? President or not, he's toxic to this country, destroying everything we stand for. So why are you normalizing that? Break real news." Sure.
Yeah.
"But this," and then I end with, "by giving Trump every move, giving Trump's every move airtime, you are repeating the exact same malignant mistakes that you made in 2016. This is willful. This is lethal news for profit. Commercialized propaganda. It should not be difficult to do the right thing and save this country. Do it. Okay, thanks, bye." And that's how I ended it. I was furious. Every hour they start with the same exact thing.
It's horrible. I'll tell you, with the exception of Chris Hayes, I have a really hard time watching MSNBC. I mean, I do. I flip between that and CNN and wherever else I can find news to find news, because I need to stay on top of what's going on and see how these different channels cover what's going on. And it's really disheartening. The Stephanie Ruhle, who for a while I kind of liked, oh my God, she's just totally jumped the shark. I wish I could remember what it was yesterday. She was going on just like defending. I wish I could remember what it was. It was something that just so disgusted me. It's like, what the fuck are they doing?
I see. I now started just turning off my TV all day. I watch in the morning just to catch up, because as I always say, I'm 3 hours behind here in California. And then I watch for a while to get the gist of what's going on before I get online. And then they start repeating and getting more and more it's propaganda. I don't know. I don't understand what they could be getting out of this. I don't see their ratings going up drastically.
No, but they can pretend that they're being, I'm doing air quotes here, fair and balanced. I said this the other day. They put on, it's like MSNBC has become the home for disenfranchised Republicans, the never Trumpers who are find themselves without a party. They're certainly not Democrats. They're far from progressive. They're Republicans, from Jennifer Rubin to Bill Kristol to David Jolly to Carlos Curbelo I could go on to the guy from Wisconsin, to the guy, we could go on and on and on. That's who they bring on there. It is the channel for, it's like Fox Light. They're the Republicans who are disenfranchised, who no longer have a home. So MSNBC welcomes them on.
Exactly. But again, that goes right back to my point of you're legitimizing a known criminal.
Yep.
If a bank robber, if a murderer, which he is, were to be noteworthy for some reason, they wouldn't keep showing clips and showing more clips and live coverage of this criminal, of a bank robber, of a murderer, of a kidnapper. But they're doing that with Trump. They don't need to. They can say, here's what, here's the Trump news today. He fired so-and-so. He did this. He did that. He lied a whole bunch of times. On to the next story.
Right.
But no, They're coddling this. They're legitimizing, they're normalizing, and it's just right back right. where we were. It's driving me crazy.
I remembered what it was. Apparently, this was today. I didn't see it, but I read about it. Where, you know, you heard about the kid from Parkland named Kyle Khashoggi, who is a right-winger and a gun enthusiast, who apparently was accepted into Harvard. He just graduated, I guess, and was accepted into Harvard. Well, he lost his spot at Harvard after racist comments that he made and posted online 2 years ago were discovered. Stephanie Ruhle was basically defending him. What? He was 16. What? He's 18 now. So it was so long ago. He apparently wrote the N-word at least 17 times or something like that.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that. And I just kind of knew the story.
And suggested that the Jews should be killed. Ooh, I mean, some people said he sounded like a school shooter, that his remarks were so heinous and so disgusting that Harvard, despite his, you know, over-the-top apologies, said, sorry, you know, now that we know this about you, we don't want your kind here. And he's, like, going on making the TV rounds, Fox and everything, you know, crying foul. And the people that Eddie Glaude, I think, was on, or whatever his name is, Princeton professor,
I know who you mean.
That were all saying, no, this kid, you know, basically made his own bed, and Stephanie Ruhle was defending him.
I don't know why she would, because she usually, well, I haven't watched in quite a while, but that's too bad. That's crazy. But all right, onward. LOL GOP was, he's quote tweeting over Shane Farrow. What if we built housing? I don't even, it's a woman, not a lawyer. I don't know who she is, but she tweeted, baby Constantine was ripped from his father's arms in Texas at 4 months old, given to a foster family in Michigan for the next 5 months, not returned as promised when the government deported his father, now finally returned and having trouble walking and talking at 18 months. So LOL GOP said, if a gun were treated this way by the government, conservatives would be in the streets flipping Humvees.
Okay.
So they coddle guns. Yep. They don't care about kids.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was his take. Then The Hill was reporting Trump supporters lining up for 40 hours ahead of the re-election campaign launch rally. And then our buddy David Waldman, KGrowX, said, because of all the jobs they have.
Because you need three of them these days.
Right. But I mean, they have none because Trump hasn't created jobs.
Right.
So they have time to line up for 3 days ahead.
That's
ridiculous. Okay, so then this happened. This was the headline, and then I'm going to read you a thread about it.
Okay.
Conspiracy theorist and InfoWars host Alex Jones sent child pornography to the lawyers for the families of the Sandy Hook tragedy, their lawyers said.
Yep.
Okay, so here's the breakdown of that, everybody, so you understand it. So Max Kennerly, trial lawyer by day, did this thread. So about Alex Jones. One, in the Sandy Hook lawsuit, he's asked to produce emails. Two, he does, but his counsel doesn't review any of them. They just dump them on the plaintiffs. Three, the plaintiffs' consultants see child pornography. They contact the FBI, as they should.
Right.
The FBI asks for the whole dump of emails, which plaintiffs give them. The FBI reports back it found numerous child porn images apparently sent to InfoWars addresses. As far as we can tell, nobody claims Alex Jones solicited or even knew about them. Maybe the FBI thinks Jones did something wrong, but well, I suspect they'd have arrested him by now if they felt Jones solicited the images or knew he had them. Jones throws a fit on his show and threatens the lawyers for the Sandy Hook victims, and then he gives an example. The plaintiffs have filed a motion. Thus far, they haven't sought specific relief, but presumably it's some sort of sanctions and or a gag order to preclude Jones from talking about them or the case. Alex Jones is horrible, and I hope he gets sanctioned and loses the case. But it does not appear he was knowingly involved in possessing child porn. Rather, someone emailed it unsolicited to an InfoWars address. That is the big if, and I have to assume he didn't know. If he did and had any semblance of self-preservation, he would have set his servers on fire or told his lawyer or done anything other than turn them over for production to the plaintiffs. That's not to say destruction of evidence is good. It's bad. But I find it unlikely Alex Jones's respect for non-spoliation of evidence outweighs his love for himself. If he knew there was child pornography, I assume he'd have done anything to avoid producing it. Anyway, he goes on.
I don't understand why this person is defending him. I totally believe that Alex Jones would send child pornography to the parents of the kids who were killed at Sandy Hook. I have no doubt he would do that.
He was saying he probably would too. From the lawyer's point of view, I guess he's saying this. This guy usually has a lot of good stuff to say. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is like the thing I was watching. Who were they defending? It was a similar kind of thing where somebody was being defended. I just have a problem with defending people like Alex Jones on any front. There's nothing that would redeem him in my eyes.
Even our buddy Empty Wheel said the same thing. That's why I quoted this long thread. She said it in one sentence, but she was saying the same thing. He received these guys, you know, let's not jump to conclusions yet, you know, and all this stuff. So I thought I would go into more detail with it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think he's guilty as fuck and he should be in jail. I have not an ounce of sympathy for him. And if there was child pornography associated with him, I have no doubt that he was the source of it. It's like Stephanie Ruhle defending this racist kid from Parkland. Fuck that shit.
Well, I'm not arguing with you, by the way. So here, this is a good one. I love this. You know, the Republican pollster, Frank Luntz.
I had a response to Frank Luntz today.
Good. Okay. I'll give you the story and then maybe it ties into this.
Yep.
This is from a Raw Story.
Okay.
Republican pollster Frank Luntz drew hackles from across the internet on Tuesday after he blamed a broken elevator at a hotel in Austria on socialism. Mm-hmm. Writing on Twitter, Luntz complained that the elevator at the hotel, the Hotel Imperial in Vienna, Austria, has not been functioning for three straight days and said that the European social welfare state was responsible for this purportedly dire situation.
Right.
Please don't bring European-style socialism to America, blah, blah, blah. In fact, the Hotel Imperial is actually owned by
Marriott.
Hotel giant Marriott, which is based in Bethesda, Maryland.
Okay, so this morning, as I'm doing my Twitter perusal, I come across this Frank Luntz tweet. And there's a picture of an elevator. And it says, I'm at the Hotel Imperial in Vienna, Austria. Almost 200 rooms, but the elevator has been broken for 3 days. Please don't bring European-style socialism to America. So I retweeted that along with the message. Hey, moron, the broken elevator had nothing to do with socialism. More likely, the capitalist hotel owners who don't want to spend the money to ensure they work properly. God damn.
There you go.
Unbelievable. Frank Luntz, who should know better. What a moron.
He should. He should know better.
What a moron.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's what we said, Pradskill, that it is owned by the Marriott. And that's why it was so stupid. Schooley, I love. He was quote tweeting over this. Let me read you the tweet from NBC News.
Uh-huh.
Key Trump administration vacancies with acting leaders.
Yes.
Well, acting defense secretary.
Yeah.
Acting DHS secretary. Acting UN ambassador.
Acting chief of staff. Acting
SBA administrator. Right? Acting FEMA director.
EPA,
ICE director. Uh-huh. USCIS director.
It's all acting because they don't have to be confirmed by the Senate and Donald Trump can replace them as he sees fit.
And so Schooley writes, sure, Chuck, meaning Chuck Schumer, everyone just settle down and let this play out for another year and a half. What could go wrong? Because this morning, apparently, Chuck Schumer said he wanted to wait a few months before impeachment.
Oh God.
Yeah,
I am so over these people. By the way, I had it in What's News, but kudos to Katie Porter. Katie Porter is a Democrat who won in an R+3 district. That means it is a Republican district. Her seat is in jeopardy. It is not a given that she'll win re-election. She is one of only two Democrats so far who've in Republican districts who've come out and in favor of an impeachment inquiry. But she did that in a video this morning.
Yeah, she's really good. All right, so here's something: Sebastian Gorka's wife.
Oy. Yeah.
She's going to be named Customs and Border Protection Press Secretary.
Of course she is.
Uh-huh.
And she'll also double as the new Sarah Sanders, too, I suppose.
Oh, that would be swell. Unless they can get somebody like Laura Ingraham. Okay, these are a couple from yesterday now.
Okay.
Stu Cameron, a follower, he was responding to the cough, Trump kicking Mulvaney out. The next time Trump does the State of the Union address, the blue side of Congress should all start coughing.
I love that.
That's so good. Do a ding.
Oh, hold on. I can ding that. Here we go. Oh.
Ding.
Okay.
Yay! Truth Out. Yeah. Truth Out, the publication. Benjamin Netanyahu showed his appreciation for Trump's decision to recognize the occupied Golan Heights by unveiling a new illegal settlement named
Trump Heights. Oh, my God.
I want to so throw up all over this page that I'm looking at right now because those words are so disturbing.
Oh, my God. I got to tell you, if you're Jewish, there's a thing that there's a group that's based in Israel. It's the Birthright group does to promote, to try to get young people of Jewish heritage to embrace the religion. It's not necessarily a pro-Israel group, although they are pro-Israel. But basically, if you're an American Jew, mm-hmm. child of in a Jewish family, you can get an expense-paid trip to Israel. It's like a 7 or a 10-day trip where they tour you around the country and they sort of try to instill some interest in Judaism among young people. I think it's from 18 to 26 are the ages. And I know some people whose kids have done it, who've loved it. And I'd love to be able to send Allison on something like that, just to expose her to the world. But I'll tell you, I don't want to send her to Israel with Netanyahu there and with the shit that they do now.
No, I am so with you. Oh, God. Okay, so from our chat room, U.S. officials, U.S. planning a tactical assault in Iran. This is from the Jerusalem Post.
Uh-huh.
Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah.
Anyway, my last tweet of the day is... from the New York Daily News, so grain of salt. But still, undocumented immigrants, because this was carried by a lot of other outlets, and I guess they believe
the
them.
Daily News isn't bad. The Daily News is not the New York Post. You're thinking of the New York Post. The Daily News is the better of the two New
York
tabloids.
That's the better of the two. Yeah, yes. You're right. I always do that. I always confuse them.
You're not from New York.
So I'm taking back. Yes, go. No, I backed up. Okay. Undocumented immigrants fired from Trump golf clubs to crash his 2020 campaign kickoff in Florida to shed light on what they consider his cruelty and hypocrisy, their attorneys told the Daily News.
I saw that. I hope they're out in force.
I do too.
Yeah. And the thing is, after the big, Nuremberg rally tonight, they come down here to this failing Trump Doral club. He took over the Doral golf club, and it's now a Trump Doral golf club, and it's dying. They're down in bookings, they're down in revenues, they're just not doing well. As are a lot of Trump properties are hurting in the age of Trump. But he's coming down here. Yeah.
I'd love to see him continue to have every property die off a slow death and everybody point and laugh because he is the most disgusting person on earth.
Tell me about it. I'm with you 100%. I'm excited for the first debates. Finally, they're just a week and a half away. It's next Wednesday. It's next Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Yeah.
They released, there's 10 people on the stage each night, so there's basically two podiums in the center, and they've announced, it's going to be done by, I guess, rankings in the polls. So on the first night, it's going to be Elizabeth Warren and Beto O'Rourke. It shows you how bad most of the people on the first night are doing. So Warren and O'Rourke will be in the center. On the second night, it'll be Bernie and Biden.
So what do you think about the way it was? I mean, it was out of a hat.
Horrible.
Drawn from a hat.
Horrible.
I do, too.
I think it's just a travesty. It's just not good. And I don't know what the solution is. I'm not saying I have the better way they should have done it, but this is not good. No, it's really not good.
Okay, good. Because I really don't. And I wanted to see, I'm sure eventually we will, but I wanted to see Elizabeth Warren go up against Biden and some others.
Yeah, me too.
So,
well, she's got the, basically the stage to herself I hate to say it, on the first night.
Yeah,
because
pretty
she's
much.
Yeah, she's a you know against all the second tier people, and all the heavy hitters are except for Warren are on the second night. So I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, someone's asking, did you all hear or read about Biden attending a fundraiser with invited Republicans? Yes, that's what he does. Right after he left the Poor People's Summit yesterday in D.C., he went to a big money fundraiser with a lot of Republicans, including former Senator Al D'Amato. It, you know, Biden is a Republican, but we can continue that another night because we're running out of time. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh and here every Tuesday. Thank you,
Laughy. Right. Thank you, too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone.